From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour is being made in every community in our country, in every neighborhood. People with disabilities are facing enormous obstacles when it comes to getting jobs. The national employment rate for people with disabilities is a staggering 20%. So how to change that? Well, business owners want to know that hiring someone with a disability is not just a move they can feel good about. They want to know it's a good business decision, too. And often it is. Think about this unemployment rate, 20%. Then think about this. Project Search sends graduates out to work at a rate of 87% shortly after graduation, 83% a year later. This is all part of our Move to Include series, and we're going to learn all about Project Search, a program run by the Strong Center for Developmental Disabilities. We have a packed studio, a bunch of people very excited to be here. If you're watching in Rochester, if you're in the city of Rochester and you're a Time Warner cable customer, you can watch on City 12. And I'm going to go around the room and introduce just about everybody because it's like standing room only in the studio right now. Julie Christensen is the Director of Employment Programs at the Strong Center for Developmental Disabilities at the University of Rochester Medical Center. Julie, nice to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We have Cheryl Hamilton, who is with Monroe 2 Orleans BOCES. And Cheryl, your title is?
I'm a job coach.
You're a job coach. Very good. And then we've got two great stories with us here. First, I've got Sam Kastner, a Project Search student who is seeking employment now. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. How you feeling?
A little bit scared.
A little bit scared. No way, my man. You feel good. It's great to be here. I love you. I wish our listeners could see his big smile. And Ernestine Garys, is a former Project Search student. Same class as Sam, but I heard you were snapped up by URMC's Environmental Services Department.
Yes, that's right.
And how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
How's work going?
Love it.
You love it?
Yes.
20 years old?
Yes, I am.
Now what I want to do is we're going to get Ernie's story and Sam's story and Sam, don't you worry. We're just going to have fun. We're going to laugh. Is that all right with you?
Yeah.
We're going to have a good time. I want to ask Julie about what this program is because there's an event coming up. But even outside of that, and we're going to get to that, what this program is and how it attacks this important challenge of making sure people with disabilities get jobs.
Right. So for people with disabilities, often one of the barriers to employment is lack of training. Having access to quality training in real world settings where they're held to the same level of accountability, right, as all of your coworkers, as I'm looking at Ernie across the table, and she can speak to that later. What Project Search really was designed to do was to be an innovative approach to partnering with high schools, helping students while they're in their last year of high school get the training that they need to be prepared to enter the competitive workforce. And competitive employment is something that for us at Strong Center for Developmental Disabilities, we're really passionate about. There's a lot happening in the news that we're hearing about around different employment options for people with disabilities, but what we're really looking for is helping our young folks be prepared to get out, to earn a livable wage, just like anybody else, to be getting benefits from their employers, high-quality jobs, real complicated, complex work, because we know that our young folks like Sam and Ernie are absolutely capable of filling those positions and meeting business need, as long as they're provided with the appropriate training and supports to get them there.
That number, 20% unemployment rate nationally for people with disabilities, I mean, that is really remarkable.
Yes.
And we're looking at a program that has a very successful rate. Why are we seeing the national rate not able to move then? If Project Search is working so well, what's going on that this is not happening at a broader level?
Well, and if only we had Project Search available for every student, right? And I should say Project Search is a national program. It was started at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And actually, the Golisano Foundation was instrumental in bringing Project Search here to Rochester because nationally, Project Search was seeing about a 60% employment rate, which still triple the national average for people with disabilities. And we saw that as something that we wanted to jump on board with, you know, partnering with schools, partnering with adult agencies to provide that training and support early. But what traditionally has happened for people with disabilities is that, you know, be it cultural expectations of just thinking that people with disabilities can't do complex work, they haven't had those opportunities. So, you know, Project Search in the last 17 years has really done a fabulous job of turning that conversation on its head, really engaging the business sector in a different way. Because what Project Search does that's unique is houses these programs in business. So for example, at the University of Rochester Medical Center, and we also have two programs locally at Wegmans and at the City of Rochester. So we have 36 students every year in the Rochester community that are participating in Project Search. So You know, part of this is capacity. We can unfortunately only take 36 students. You know, there's many, many more students in our area.
Is there a way for that to broaden?
With support from the business sector, absolutely. And I should say Project Search isn't the only model that we work with when it comes to employment for people with disabilities. We have programs on college campuses as well. You know, but really where, you know, where we have difficulty at this point is that we have these highly trained folks ready for jobs. We don't necessarily have the larger business community coming to the table to say, you know, I have available positions, let's talk. We have a great candidate pool of really highly trained folks that we need to get out there. So we would love to see 100%. 87% is great, but it's not where we want to be.
Business community, listen up, because we're going to be getting to that, and that's a huge part of this, is changing that perception that, hey, it would feel good to hire someone with a disability, as opposed to saying it is smart to, especially because you look at turnover rates,
right,
and people with disabilities, when they get rocking in a job, their turnover rates are low. I mean, they want to stay there. They want to work hard. Their work ethics are tremendous, aren't they?
Very low turnover rates, yes.
And let's define, if we could, when we say disabilities, obviously it's a broad term, Julie.
Right.
And how would you, is there any easy way to define it?
Great question. And so I should say for Project Search, we are really focused on students with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So these are students that have the most significant disabilities and traditionally are excluded from the larger workforce in comparison to, you know, other disability mm-hmm. groups.
And let's get to, before we get over to Sam and Ernie, because they're just chomping to talk. I know they want to jump in here. But we already have a caller, and this is... He's not only a regular caller, but I love his perspective on this issue. That's Bernard in Fairport. And Bernard, thanks for calling.
Thanks. Well, I've been going blind for 30 years. And the last 10 years of my career, I was a project manager all over the world, even though I had visual problems, serious visual problems. And as a matter of fact, when I worked at HP, I ran all of HP's printers worldwide from my bedroom, because I had the technology to do it. So quite honestly, I'm a little annoyed about the concept of disabilities. I prefer to think of myself as unique. And when I look at a computer screen, I don't see everything that you see. I see the things that are important, because I don't waste my time on the things that are irrelevant. So my point of view is that you accept, if you will, your limitations, but you maximize your capabilities in other areas. And as an employer, before I even realized I was blind, I did hire disability people, quote unquote, because they had a unique way of looking at the situation, or even if they had serious limitations, they could focus on what was important and avoid thinking about things that weren't important. So I really appreciate the effort, but I also think the world needs to reconsider their attitude. There is real value in hiring people that are unique. Thank you very much for the show.
Well, thank you, Bernard. You had a couple different times I saw Ernie smiling when Bernard was talking. What do you think, Ernie?
I think it was awesome.
he's right, isn't he, Julie?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, what Project Search really tries to do is, you know, not focus on the disability. It is a program for students with disabilities. But the reality is that what we're looking at is the incredible strengths and talents and skills that these young folks have. They are able, as Ernie is right now, to fully contribute within, you know, the business where they're employed at the same level, right, as everyone else. So Ernie doesn't get a break in environmental services. She has to work at the same level as every single person in that department.
Well, good segue. Ernie, let's talk about work. Tell me about day-to-day work for you.
Well, in the morning, I learn how to punch in, punch out. I learn dailies and discharges, C diffs, different chemicals that's in the room, and different floors you have to work on,
mm-hmm.
units, use different chemicals on different units. Well, I'm on the floor of babies, so I use different chemicals.
And how do you enjoy work?
I love it.
Yeah?
The babies are so cute. it's not that busy that much, but I love it.
Do you go to work and you feel like you're doing something at a great place?
I do.
Something that means something.
Yeah, I help people. Hopefully their room is clean. put a smile on their face, say hi to them. So.
What's been the hardest part? Any challenges that stand out to you, Ernie?
Seeing people that's in their room look sad sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I try to encourage them with words, have them, let them know, have a nice day or something like that.
Just dealing with the emotional side?
Yes.
Yeah, that can be tough.
Because I know they don't want to be there. They're in the hospital, mm-hmm. sick.
So. What do you want for work long term? What do you want to do? Are you happy? Do you want to stay? Do you want to do something different?
I do. I would like to stay. Hopefully I will go to a different department soon. So.
That's great. Well, you're already a success story, which is fun. And if you saw her toothpaste ad smile, you'd know, you know she makes everybody feel good when she walks into the room. Now, Sam is on his way, and I know you're excited about the idea. How have things gone in Project Search, Sam? What would you say you have learned in Project Search?
I had a hard time.
It's all right. Take your time.
Talking to people I don't know, they helped me be more kind of fence.
More confident, mm-hmm.
And now I help the princess.
So you feel more confident when you talk to people that you don't know. People like me. Something like that, huh? I know that that is a big challenge for a lot of people. And let me bring in our job coach, who's on the panel now, Cheryl Hamilton with Monroe 2 Orleans BOCES. What he just described, and by the way, what he just did, talking to a host with a microphone and headphones on, that's a challenge for a lot of people just to begin with, isn't it?
Absolutely. Sam's done a great job on his internship site. As he said, he has had some challenges, and we've worked through that. We have accommodations that he uses, such as checklists and different accommodations that will help him be more confident. He goes through and scripts things. He goes through and has checklists. Sam is definitely an asset. He's worked extremely hard. He's a work ethic that no one else has. And just by the accommodations that he has, it basically levels the playing field, which allows students with disabilities like Sam to have the same opportunity and chance as everyone else to get a job.
All right, Julie, so what is coming up on Tuesday, May 13th?
So we're hosting a Business Connection Summit at the Radisson here downtown, and the goal is to have as many businesses, hiring managers, business leaders in the community come out, learn about Project Search and our campus-based training programs, and meet our students who are going to be job-seeking. So Sam and his classmates are going to be exiting school in just a couple of weeks, June, right? And yeah. Sam's looking for a job. And what I will say is that Sam's department at the hospital really wanted to hire Sam because his skill set and what he brings to the unit was seen as such an incredible value. But unfortunately, there's no open position available for Sam. So part of what the purpose of this Business Connection Summit coming up is to do is to try to raise awareness about the fact that we have these fantastic young folks who are really highly skilled that are able to, you know, enter into the workplace right now. They're ready to go. They just need the opportunity to get connected with folks who have available positions, who can come meet them, learn about their skill set, and see how they can contribute to the bottom line.
Tuesday, May 13th, 9 to 1 at the Radisson Hotel at the Rochester Riverside there. And once again, to get involved or to inquire, to reach out on this, they can do what?
We do have registration on our website, which... Is it? Should I read it?
Of course. Okay. That's partially why you're here, Julie. It's all right.
So you can register at www.golisano.umc.edu/BCS2014. And that's where the registration information can be found. You can also give us a call. Actually, you could call me directly. My phone number at the office is 273-3713 at the Med Center, and I can get you connected with all the registration information. It's a free event for business leaders. They do not have to pay. We'll even feed you. And the best part of it is getting the opportunity to meet these amazing young folks that are ready to work.
Sam, I saw you shaking your head when she said, right now, there's not a job open for you. And I know you hope that there will be soon.
Yeah.
Well, I know that sometimes it's about being patient and finding the right fit. But I'd love to hear from our listeners either online at on our social media sites, or if you want to join the conversation locally, 585-263-WXXI, 263-9994. And we just debuted our new 844 number, so no matter where you're calling from, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. And you can join the conversation, because I think probably the most important part of this conversation, Julie, is changing the business culture and mindset that it really does make business sense. I mean, that's a much more compelling point, unfortunately, or fortunately, when you look at the way they make hiring decisions, right?
Absolutely. This is not about a charity model, as you mentioned earlier. This isn't about, you know, hiring someone with a disability because it's a nice thing to do. It's about the fact that that we have some folks that are really, really highly trained between the medical center, Wegmans, and the city of Rochester. Our young folks are exposed to some fantastic training opportunities that make them very competitive in the workforce. What businesses need to understand is that training exists for them and that they're job seeking, and to understand that, you know, we have many, many studies that point to, you know, the bottom line for businesses who hire people with disabilities. You mentioned the low turnover rate, but also employee satisfaction, customer satisfaction goes up when you see businesses that hire people with disabilities. So it makes business sense.
Robert in Rochester, thanks for calling Connections. Go ahead, Robert.
Hi, I have a little bit of experience with this, and I just wanted to hear some of the things. In my experience, I've noticed that when hiring people with disabilities, the simplest accommodations will allow them to be very, very successful. And really what businesses need to think of when they have to think of out of the boxes are the simple things that they can do that can get an employee like this that can be very productive. And I'm kind of curious to hear what some of the very simple accommodations that are offered that allow these people to be so productive and do things to help themselves, which I think is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for them and an opportunity for businesses to get good people to work. The rule in business is good help is hard to find, and if you do simple things, you can get really, really great people. So does that question make sense?
Yeah, great question, Robert. I'll ask Julie to start with that. Go ahead.
Actually, I'd love for the job coaches to jump in on this, because they're the ones that are working with the students day in and day out.
Let me bring in Cheryl Hamilton, okay. Because our other job coach who's going to join us in the second half hour, we don't even have headphones for her. That's how packed our studio is right now. Cheryl, how would you address that, Robert's question?
He's absolutely right. It could be the simplest accommodations that can make our interns as successful as can be. And some of that, as Sam had said before, would be just a checklist. We had one young lady that came into our program that didn't know a 2 was a 2 and a 4 was a 4 and was doing a stocking job. So at that point, we went through, we put dots in, we made picture cards and cue cards, put the items up there. She was able to visualize it with the words, and by the end of the internship site, which is usually like 8 to 10 weeks, she was able to go through and figure out that a 2 was a 2 and the word was a 4, and she could go through and was very, very successful on her job. So some of the littlest things, we don't need employers to come out and redefine or redevelop what their program is, what their business is. Sometimes it's just the little things. And that's something that we can do as job coaches, and that's what we do to teach our students how to be able to do that.
And I would add to that, Erin Riley, who founded Project Search, she was the manager of the emergency department at Cincinnati Children's. And when she talks about why Project Search, what she said was, from a business perspective, she would get caught up in the details of, well, if someone can't read numbers, how could they possibly work as a stocking in a stalking position. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that as a business person, she didn't understand, you know, concepts like universal design, which makes sense to us in the disability field. She didn't know how to make that happen. All she saw was, well, if you can't read a number, how could you work? And so what we're challenging businesses to think about is that there are different ways to get the same results, to get the job done. It just takes some creativity and some thinking in a different way. So one of the benefits of a program like Project Search is that we have fantastic partners with our adult agencies, both JobPath at Arc of Monroe and Lifetime Assistance, who are able to work with these young folks at when they are hired. They can go right into the business. They can help break down the skills, teach it in a way that makes sense for the student, for the young person and where they're at, and work with the business to figure out what tools are needed. Yeah. So if it's a different counting system, you know, the question is, can we get the job done, not how it gets done?
Robert, does that answer your question?
It does answer my question, and I really appreciate that, because I think human resources as a business model is something that needs to be expanded for, you know, we've expanded it for diversity, we've expanded it for education, and now expanding it toward, you know, the quote-unquote actual ability, I think, allows us to be significantly more productive. So the work that's being done here is absolutely profound, and I think is, you know, one of the good things that are going on. So I applaud everybody involved.
Yeah, Robert, great call. I appreciate that. And frankly, Julie and Cheryl, let me just pose a kind of an addendum to that, to the point you were making there. I remember when I was working at Channel 13, and I have always been a creature of deadline. And I was the kind of person, you know how we used to joke about in high school that I used to write my papers the night before? I used to wake up at 5 a.m. and write them the morning of, because the night before I still had other things that I could be doing. I was just a creature of deadline. And when I worked at Channel 13 in commercial television news, I'd go out with a photographer, two-person team, we'd shoot a story, I'd come back, I'd have to put together a script for the photographer to edit for the 5 or 6 o'clock news. But I'm just a creature of deadlines. So I would wait until the last possible minute. And finally, my bosses realized that I had this sort of internal clock that was somewhat needed to be reprogrammed. And every time I'd come back in the door at 1 p.m., they'd say, hey, let's get a script out by 2 instead of 4 p.m. today, just in case things go crazy. Is that really that different than meeting individual people with disabilities and saying, hey, they may not be able to tell a 2 from a 4, or, you know, they have this individual challenge, and as long as we can manage that, that we figure that out. Is that different?
It's not different at all. Every person comes with their own things, right? You know, things that get in the way of maybe being as productive as we might like to be. The bottom line is, can we get the job done? And can we do that in a way that meets employer need and you know, contributes to the bottom line? I think it's just sometimes when you talk about disability, it's too easy to get caught up in the label. And to the earlier caller's, you know, comment, we need to be focusing on the ability, and maybe we don't get there quite the same way, or, you know, maybe we need someone to give us a different type of a deadline or a different way of approaching the task. But, you know, the bottom line is being open to the idea that we can get it done, as opposed to just having the conversation stop at the point that disability is part of the equation.
Let me begin to wrap up this half hour with our students and graduates here. And Ernie, let me ask you, you're 20 years old.
I am.
Do you remember when you were 14, 15, 16, did you think about work and did you think about what you'd be doing?
No, not at all.
It wasn't part of your thought process?
No.
And then over the last 2 or 3 years, as you moved closer to the workforce, have you been scared or concerned about what it would bring? How has your thought process changed as you've gone through this
pandemic? I have got scared. Mm-hmm. And then I had my job coaches, and they was like, don't worry, it's going to be fine. They showed me steps by steps. They were there all the time. So
have you found yourself moving from maybe being scared about it to being more confident?
Yeah, I was more brave about it.
Where do you think you're going to be in 5 years?
I don't know, but I do want to work with children. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
No.
I'm not sure yet. I'm undecided.
We're not worried about you, just so you know.
And
Sam, I know that you're in that position of trying to find work. The good news for you is you're like millions of Americans trying to find work. But I hope that as you've gone through this process, you feel confident and that you think good things are going to happen. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
To teach me skills to get and keep a job.
Getting and keeping a job. Well, I know when you get a job, you're going to keep a job. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for being here. Ernie, thank you for being here. We're going to take a very, very short break. And I already had a couple questions online. People were asking if this is sort of in conjunction with an NPR report from this morning about not just people with disabilities getting work, but what they make and making sure they're not taken advantage of and making sure they're paid well and paid fairly. We're going to hear that report from NPR when we come back, and we're going to talk about all of those issues as they pertain to making sure people with disabilities. Again, think about that number. 20% of people with disabilities work. And that number has got to change. And Project Search has a record of 87% right after those students graduate, 83% a year later. Really, really remarkable in the Rochester area. We're learning all about that this hour. Short break and right back with more on member-supported public radio.
Opening this week at the Little Theater, Dom Hemingway stars Jude Law as a larger-than-life safecracker with a loose fuse who is funny, profane, and dangerous. After 12 years in prison, he sets off with his partner in crime, looking to collect what he's owed for keeping his mouth shut and protecting his boss, Mr. Fontaine. After a near-death experience, Dom tries to reconnect with his estranged daughter, but he's soon drawn back into the only world he knows, looking to settle the ultimate debt. See details at thelittle.org.
Welcome back to Connections on this Tuesday. It's a Wednesday afternoon. It is a Wednesday. We do have a lovely and full studio here, and we're talking about helping people with disabilities find work. Now, this morning, you might have heard NPR covering a similar story, and the fight is on, you might have heard in recent months, about the federal minimum wage, just in general, the national minimum wage. You've heard the president wants to take it to 10-10, et cetera. Well, advocates for the disabled say the pay that some disabled workers get is well below the minimum, and that needs to go up as well. Activists say a federal law that allows so-called sheltered workplaces to pay people with disabilities pennies per hour is out of date. Here's NPR's Cheryl Corley reporting on that story.
Unusual these days to see a developmentally disabled worker at a grocery store or restaurant as more of the disabled get jobs in the community. But many thousands more work at sheltered workshops like this one.
We'll walk around, you can see some of the jobs that we do.
Hey, Gus. Hi, how you doing?
Gus Vandenbrink heads the Sertoma Center, an agency providing programs and training for the developmentally disabled. He greets workers here who are packaging bottles that will be shipped off to a microbrewery.
We do 100% quality control. The supervisor in the area is always checking the work when they're finished with it.
Sertoma Center, located in Chicago's south suburbs, started off as a sheltered workshop, providing employment opportunities to the disabled by getting subcontracting jobs. These days, about 250 people work here. Their pay is regulated by the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938. The law was originally created to encourage hiring veterans with disabilities. It allows companies, including some federal contractors, to pay sub-minimum wages based on how productive a person with disabilities is compared to a non-disabled worker doing the same task.
So we might pay somebody just 25 cents an hour all the way up to minimum wage.
The concept has increasingly come under fire by disability advocacy groups. They say the workshops reinforce a life of poverty, leaving thousands isolated and exploited by their employers. Curtis Decker, who heads the National Disability Rights Network, says sheltered workshops may once have been a good idea.
That this would be a place where people could get trained and be protected and learn some skills.
But he says the concept is way out of date.
40, 50 years later, we have people in the segregated workshops not moving out, not getting into competitive employment, and making well below the minimum wage.
With the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act, there's been more emphasis on placing the disabled in the mainstream labor market. And Decker and others are calling for an end to sheltered employment. They have the support of the Justice Department, Acting Assistant Attorney General Jocelyn Samuels recently announced a settlement with Rhode Island, calling for it to provide typical jobs in the community for disabled workers that pay the minimum wage while phasing out many sheltered workshops.
It's the promise of the Americans with Disabilities Act to open the doors of the American workplace to people with disabilities and to abolish the low expectations that have kept people with disabilities shut out of their communities for decades.
Gus Vandenbrink says the Sertoma Center and other agencies do work to find jobs for the disabled in the community, but he adds the focus should not be on shutting down all sheltered workshops. He says it would be nearly impossible for some people with severe intellectual disabilities to get a job at all. It's shelter workshops, he says, that give them a chance to work and earn a paycheck.
Some of the individuals may not completely even understand what the value of that paycheck is, but they know they're receiving a paycheck, so they're getting a lot of self-esteem. They're very proud of it.
Even so, Assistant Attorney General Samuels says the Justice Department will work with other states to make sure some workers with disabilities have the opportunity to do their work, as she puts it, at real jobs for real wages. Cheryl Corley, NPR News, Chicago.
And that's the report we heard this morning. If you're just joining us, we're talking about local program and efforts to help people with disabilities find work. And Julie Christensen is the Director of Employment Programs at the Strong Center for Developmental Disabilities at the University of Rochester Medical Center. I want to hit on a few points there, Julie. Let's get a few terms defined here. Again, they talked about sheltered workplaces. What do they mean by that?
So sheltered workshops, sheltered employment, these are segregated environments where individuals are often in large warehouse type settings, mm-hmm. Typically doing highly repetitious,
production.
Production and, highly repetitious tasks. What has happened the story mentioned it being an old model. I think in the inception was the idea that if we start to teach skills in these settings, that it would lead to competitive employment. But the reality is that that's not what has happened. What has resulted over decades of having sheltered employment is that people with disabilities are just segregated from the rest of the community. So they are, in a setting where they are not out in the community, they are not engaging in the larger, business sector, and they're not being paid a fair wage for the work that they're able to do. And there's a lot of reasons for that that would take more than the half hour that we have to talk about, but it's really a reason why programs like Project Search came to be, is that we need different models. We need different approaches to help prepare, especially our young folks with disabilities, to have the skills that they need so that sheltered employment isn't their outcome when they exit school. And I will say that fortunately in New York State, the front door to sheltered employment is closed. So you cannot enter a sheltered workshop now if you're not already in one. But we have over 8,000 individuals in the state of New York right now that are participating in sheltered employment that are in need of opportunities.
The implication, Julie, is that without sheltered workshops, there will be some people who cannot work at all, and that for some, it's at least a way to work. Do you disagree with that?
It's such a complicated issue, and certainly we know, that there's a wide range of disability out there. Philosophically, my personal belief set is that everybody can work at some level. It's an issue of maximizing ability and finding the right job match for that individual, and that's where we really need the business community to step up and think creatively with us to find where those opportunities exist. But I think the danger in having situations like sheltered employment is that it makes it too easy to have the bar low. That, there are too many individuals that are sitting in sheltered workshops right now that we know have the skills that can be working like Ernie is now if they're given the opportunity. But the reality is that, these work settings have become their entire world. They've been segregated in these settings where their only friends, their only source of social connection is going to these sheltered workshop settings. And that's scary. It's terrifying for these individuals. It's terrifying for their families. So it's a huge systems change to take this issue on.
Kind of the tyranny of low expectations?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're talking about Project Search. We're also learning more about Strong Center for Developmental Disabilities with Julie, also in the room. Gabriel Brandenburg is an employment specialist, a job coach from Arc of Monroe. Gabriel, nice to see you. And Vicki Brown is here. Vicki is the supervisor of the Linen Department, the University of Rochester Medical Center. Vicki, tell me about what you have seen at work when it comes to this program, success, et cetera. What have you seen?
I see the successes. The students that we've experienced have brought to us a whole new world of basically an eye-opener. Students with disabilities can learn on-the-job training. Our particular department has opened the doors for several students who have gone on to get full-time permanent positions. But just with the attention from staff members who have, in my department, who have embraced the students, mm-hmm. They're eager to learn. They're eager to work, and they're eager to be a part of a workforce.
Well, and that, to me, what you're describing is exactly when we have this debate about sheltered workshops. Maybe there would be some folks with severe disabilities who might feel shut out, but then there are people who, Vicki, you might never see come in through your doors because they're in a sheltered workshop and they're not going to move for years or decades. You agree with that?
I agree.
Yeah.
I probably have not had the experience with the students had it not been for Project Search.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're talking about, isn't it, Julie?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Opening doors and making opportunities.
Okay, and so Gabriel's here as well, and I know that you have worked as a job coach. You know Sam and Ernie, or Sam or Ernie?
Both.
Okay,
both.
Sam and Ernie as well. We've been talking to Ernie, who's this charming young woman who's had this great success. Sam is great young guy who wants work, and you know he's like a lot of people, can't find work yet. What are the real prospects for Sam? What do you think?
Well, because of Project Search and the skills that he's learned, I think that the prospects are good for Sam. And I think that because of the supervisors that we work with at Strong, they're great advocates for our individuals. And they will talk to other people in the community and other people in the hospital to help find a position for Sam.
Sometimes that's not easy, and I know, Julie, we wish everyone had a job for every position. Is it getting better for people like Ernie and Sam?
Absolutely, it's getting better. We're seeing more and more individuals have the opportunity for employment. This is a difficult job market for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so that we battle that piece as well. But, you know, I think what folks need to understand about a program like Project Search is that these students spend 9 months. They are 20 hours a week for 30 weeks training on the job in the departments at the medical center, like the linen department, environmental services, acute care, patient accounts, you name it. They are on the job getting... And they're put to the ringer, right? They do the same
yes.
work that everybody else does. You know, so when they leave this program, they have accumulated a huge number of hours of legitimate work experience with, you know, recommendations from their department supervisors. You know, the issue is finding that match, finding an employer who's willing to come to the table to say, you know, I have open positions and this is maybe not a, you know, a job candidate pool that I've thought of before, but I really should.
And whether it's URMC or you mentioned Wegmans, you mentioned the city of Rochester, mm-hmm. how are they involved?
So what Project Search requires is a host business for a single program. So the medical center, Wegmans, and the city of Rochester are our three host businesses for our three Project Search programs here locally. When we started this effort at Strong Center for Developmental Disabilities, really working closely with the Golisano Foundation, we had a vision for making sure that any young person in the Monroe County area had access to a Project Search program. So we very specifically targeted a wide variety of businesses. And, you know, we work with two different job coaching adult agencies in LAI and Arc of Monroe. And we partner with BOCES 1, BOCES 2, and the Rochester City School District, allowing us to make access available for any 18 to 21-year-old with a disability in the Monroe County area. So all three businesses are really at the forefront of providing these training opportunities. They are hiring our graduates at fantastic rates. And in fact, historically, we've seen, you know, up to 60% of our graduating class getting picked up by one of our three host businesses, which is fantastic. It's also not sustainable.
Yeah, especially if the bigger the program gets.
Absolutely.
Right?
Over time, for us, success is that we have 100% employment and none of them at our host businesses, because that means that the business community is engaged in coming to the table and looking at hiring our young folks.
60% at your host businesses.
Yes.
87% immediately after graduation, 83% after a year.
Right.
So there is some segment of the local business community that is getting it more involved or more
yes.
involved than they used to be, Julie?
Yes. And efforts like this is the second year we've done this Business Connection Summit. So, you know, we continue to outreach. But, you know, we're, you know, social workers and folks working at the medical center, you know, we're not business people. So, you know, we need the help of the business community and leaders to come forward and help make these connections and get the words out.
Are there room in the future for, you've got three host businesses. How many could you have?
You know, it depends on demand. You know, if we can fill a class of 12, we can hold a project search program. But to be honest, at this point, you know, we're less concerned about expanding project search as a training program as we are about expanding the businesses that are partnering with us to hire our graduates.
You know, this is one of those times where some of our listeners may say, this is a great sounding program. We love hearing Ernie's success story. Everyone's rooting for people like Sam. But it's only, you said, how many students, Julie?
36 students a
36
year.
36 students. We've got a large, much larger population of people with disabilities who are going to need to find work.
Right.
And so what do we learn? What do the listeners out there either learn or apply to their own families, their own family members with disabilities if they're not in Project Search?
Well, I think what a program like Project Search and our campus-based programs as well do is that it sets that seed for conversation to look at things differently. There are Rochester's lucky. Our community is lucky in the sense that we're resource-rich when it comes to services for people with disabilities. Not every community has that. And there are a lot of different training programs available, not only for students, but for adults who have exited the school system. So, you know, really it's an issue of having everyone really personalize this issue. All of us know someone with a disability. So we can all, you know, really take that to heart and look at, you know, the experiences. We're all working with people with disabilities, whether we know it or not. It's changing that mindset of, you know, being that of this can happen. That, you know, Ernie is really productive in her department. It is an asset to environmental services at the medical center, as are the, what, 17, 18 other Project Search graduates and young adults that have been hired in that department. So every time an individual is hired, every person that is touched by that Project Search student or Project Search graduate takes that away from them, and it opens up doors for other people who may not be in Project Search but have skills as well to give to the workplace.
Gabriel, tell me about some, we met a couple students today. Tell me about some of the other success stories you've seen.
We had a student come to us 3 years ago. The year before, he had a one-on-one aide in his classroom, needed supervision constantly. He is now working as a data clerk full-time. He's been there 2 years, and he just won an award because he had never called in, not once. So he has perfect attendance on the job, which is huge for business.
Yeah. And that, when we talk about the assets, mm-hmm. perfect attendance, Julie.
Yep.
Sell it to me now. I'm a business owner locally, and I've heard about what you guys are doing, and I'm interested, but I think, you know, I have to have productive workers. Mm-hmm. I want to feel good about who I employ, but I can't employ somebody who is going to be inconsistent. Sell it to me.
And Gabrielle's laughing, and I'll let her chime in on this as well, coming from the adult services side of this.
And by the way, I can't be the only, we're role-playing. Can't be the only, you have to hear this. Don't
yeah,
you hear this?
We absolutely hear this. And the reality is that, you know, individuals with disabilities, when you look at the research, they are very consistently there every single day. In fact, the young man that Gabrielle was just referring to, he was forced to use his vacation time because he just hadn't. and the medical center said, look, you get, you know, however many weeks a year he gets, you have to take it. And that's the reality for some of these individuals. The sense of pride, you know, Ernie and Sam both talked about that earlier, the sense of pride in coming to work every day. You know, you need to understand that, you know, you're talking about young folks that have had so many doors closed to them, that when one opens, it's such a tremendous opportunity, and they embrace it wholeheartedly. They are there every day. You know, Ernie has a smile on her face that changes the experience of patients and families that, you know, interact with her. It changes the business, and it motivates Ernie to come in.
Gabriel, you were laughing when we did that role playing. what do you say to the business owners who worry about consistency and production?
Sometimes it takes our individuals a little longer to learn a skill, mm-hmm. but once they've learned it, they are on it, they do it consistently, and they don't cut corners. And Ernie could tell you that she has told her trainer before, well, this isn't what was in the book. This isn't what I was taught. Why are you doing it this way?
Is that true, Ernie?
Yes.
You're not calling anybody out now. It's all right.
I didn't try to.
No. What time do you get to work, Ernie?
7:30. Yes.
And when's your work day end?
Well, I come in at 7 o'clock, but I have to clock in at 7:30.
What are you doing from 7 to 7:30?
I sit in the lobby and wait.
You just wait to start work?
Yes, I do.
You're like the first person in the door then.
I am.
Punctuality, being on time matters?
Yes.
Well, that's very good. Now, I hope that you eventually will be the kind of person who will recognize that you are allowed to take some time off.
I don't know, maybe.
Do you love work?
I do.
You truly do?
Yes.
You don't want to get too cliche about this, but it's not always easy to have a job that you wake up and you go, I'm excited to go to work. How do you feel about it?
I feel great because this is actually my first job. So it's really, really good to have a job and be able to get paid and actually doing something. So
What's it like getting a paycheck?
Well, my paycheck hasn't come yet.
Okay.
I'm waiting for it.
Are you ready?
I'm totally ready for it.
We've talked about pride, Julia. What's the value there in that kind of pride? Because everybody is a little different. Some people want to live more independently. Some people want to contribute to a household or a family. Some people just want that sense of pride.
Pride and independence and feeling like you're valued. You know, that's really what this is about. And you know, to cycle back to where we started this half hour, you know, for so many people with disabilities, because the assumption is, well, they can't work to the same level of productivity, which we know is not true. They're paid, you know, at a fraction of what they should be. And so, you know, a program like Project Search allows Ernie to be making well above minimum wage. And, you know, so the doors that opens for her in terms of her financial independence, her ability to participate in her community, you know, she's a taxpayer now. You know, there's so many reasons why this is just the right thing to do.
Ernie, that's like the worst part of it, by the way.
It is.
Dealing with tax season. You'll know eventually, but we all need help with that sometimes too. Vicki, what have you seen in terms of your department? How long have you been involved with this in your department? How many years now?
2 to 3 years.
2 to 3 years?
The time goes by very fast.
Yeah. give me a sense of the impact you've seen in those 2 to 3 years.
In fact, when it's coming to the end of a student's cycle, sometimes we're surprised because the time has gone by so fast. But I just wanted to add to the pride,
yeah,
the determination that many of the students have that have come through my department. It's quite impressive, their determination to learn. And even if it's not just the skills that they're learning, but being in an environment where they're experiencing social skills. And I've seen that with a lot of the students as well. And I think that brings about a certain comfort level in adjusting to the work environment.
Let's get another phone call in. Terry in Rochester. Go ahead, Terry.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, with so many kids with autism, I think the number is either 1 in 150 or 1 out of 180 now.
88.
Okay. How appropriate or how geared is this program, this project, for those children who really do suffer from social inabilities and inability to communicate?
Good question, Julie.
It's a great question. We have many students. I would say approximately a third of our students are on the spectrum in some capacity. Mm-hmm. So the program is very successful for students with autism. You know, I would say that really the power of Project Search is less about the concrete work skills that students learn, because mm-hmm. with the accommodations and supports that they receive, in some respects, that's the easy part, mm-hmm. teaching them to do the job. It's the social aspect. Mm-hmm. It's how to make eye contact. It's how to you know, how to have appropriate social interactions. Mm-hmm. You know, what if the routine changes? What do you do with that? And these are all things that students are able to learn in real time, you know, within the business setting. And the other benefit of this is we're also teaching the business different strategies and ways to work with individuals with autism and other disabilities so that they recognize, you know, what their responsibility is to help young folks work through those issues.
What do you think, Terry?
Well, I love everything that you're saying, except I know with an autistic child, the mentoring part is missing in what you're saying. I mean, they can be on the job, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not talking against it because I have a child who has Asperger's and has a terrible time trying to get into the workforce. And it's very discouraging when you can't make eye contact, when you can't communicate for yourself, when sometimes your inappropriateness creeps out and you really sort of need a mentor to be there to keep you in check because you can't do it for yourself.
Terry, let me just jump in and say thanks for that call. Tomorrow, 12:30 to 1, we're going to talk more about autism and latest research, more information, a big gala coming up. That's 12:30 to 1 on this program tomorrow. So thanks for the call. Join us tomorrow. Last quick word on that, Julia, comment on what she was saying there regarding mentoring.
Well, and mentoring is a big part of this program. It comes not only from the job coaches, it comes from peers, but most importantly, it comes from the natural supports in the business, the supervisors, the coworkers who work with these students and are there with them at every step of the way, prompting them, giving them a different way to look at things, not overreacting if the individual's having a bad day. And I don't know, Gabe, is there anything you want to add to that? We've had so many success stories with individuals with autism in this program.
I was just going to say that the natural supports are key.
Yeah.
Just to have those coworkers who kind of take them under their wing and watch out for them. And
all right. Well, let's wrap the hour with one more reminder. Tuesday, May 13th, coming up, Julie, go.
Second annual Business Connections Summit. We're going to be over at the Radisson downtown on East Main Street from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You're welcome to give me a call at 273-3713 for more information, or you can register online for the event. This is free of charge. I cannot stress that enough. You do not have to pay for the benefit of coming and meeting these fantastic young folks who are looking for work right now, and you can register at www.golisano.umc.edu/BCS2014.
Julie, Gabriel, Vicky, Ernie, great to see you. Thank you for being here. Really enjoyed meeting you, and congratulations, Ernie, on your success already.
Thank you.
And thanks for sharing your stories
with
us.
Thank you for having us.
Part of our Move to Include series, thanks to the Golisano Foundation. Tomorrow, 1 p.m., Neil deGrasse Tyson, live on this program. It's going to be a fun day tomorrow. I will see you then. Until then, have a great Wednesday.